Gentleman is recognized for 3 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And Mr. Speaker, I want to thank my good friend from Massachusetts for yielding me this time and for the leadership that he's shown on the nutrition title and for the plight of hunger throughout our country. It's commendable. Mr. Speaker, I've been here for a few farm bills in the past. I used to be a member of the Agriculture Committee. I certainly appreciate how very difficult it is to put together a bipartisan farm bill with so many different moving parts. I have all the respect and admiration for the leadership in the committee, but I also sense that we've reached a point of fatigue and exhaustion. People just want this farm bill to go away after years of being worked on it, and I appreciate that too. But we're only given one opportunity every 5, or in this case 7 years, to reform farm policy to make it better. To make it better for our family farmers, to make it more responsible for the American taxpayer, to make production agriculture work for all Americans. And I'm afraid that this farm bill yet again pulls up short. And I would beseech my colleagues to take a little additional time to work on some reform measures that do make sense. Rather than looking at another $8.6 billion in cuts to the nutrition title on top of previous cuts that have already been had, let's look at some of these subsidy programs. I'm afraid that the bill before us today maintains huge taxpayer subsidies that go to a few but very large agribusinesses at the expense of our family farmers around the country. It's going to lead to greater consolidation in production agriculture. It's going to continue to drive up land values. It's going to make it harder for new beginning farmers to enter the occupation. It's not responsible to these family farmers, and it's certainly not responsible to the American taxpayer. We've got historically high commodity target prices in this bill, so any slight dip is going to mean huge payments going out in the future. We've got the multiple entity rule now that we worked on in the previous farm bill being rolled back in this one. We've got payment limitation caps now being increased rather than brought down to where the will of this Congress was last year when we had that debate on the floor. And while it's commendable that we're getting rid of the direct payment program, which was not justifiable, most of that money is being shifted now into the crop insurance program, which what I feel is overly generous premium subsidy, crop insurance subsidies to producers, which has the potential of taking further risk out of production decisions. But we're also telling the private crop insurance companies, we're going to guarantee you a 14% profit margin. We're going to pay your entire administrative and operating expenses. And by the way, you're going to bear very little risk in offering these policies. The American taxpayer will still bear that risk. There's not a business in the world that wouldn't sign up for that offer. So why are we doing that in this farm bill? Representative Petri and I last year offered a common sense modicum reform of the crop insurance program, asking these crop insurance companies put a little more skin in the game. We understand it's a valuable risk management tool that needs to be there for producers, but this goes overboard with it. And then finally, we've got a domestic cotton program that's gotten us into trouble with Brazil. If the average taxpayer knew that for the last 4 years we funneled out $150 million worth of taxpayer subsidies going to subsidize Brazil cotton farmers, they'd be livid. And yet this bill does not fix that cotton problem. And now it's up to Brazil whether they want to level economic sanctions against us. More work needs to happen. And unfortunately, this bill pulls up short. I yield back.
Someone's time is expired.